The Holy Gospel comes to us today from the book of Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. But this is the beginning of the birth pains." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings. We should have those kids come back down, play with the blocks. What a good visual for us today. Teacher Jesus, coming out of the temple where he had just gathered his disciples to teach about a poor woman, a poor widow, giving out of her poverty, is stopped by one of his disciples. "Look, teacher, what large stones, what large buildings." Jesus, knowing things, hears his disciple as he marvels the structures before him. We wonder, was the disciples marveling innocent, like you and me going to, say, New York City, and we look straight up and we see those magnificent buildings and we wonder with amazement, free flowing out of our mouths, "Wow, look at those buildings." We wonder. Or had his disciple been intentionally nudging Jesus into a conversation about architecture? I doubt it. Especially, they just came out of the temple, right? Jesus teaching about a poor widow putting more into the treasury of the temple out of her poverty than all those who contribute out of their abundance. So doubtful. Coming out of the temple, basking in that teachable moment about the poor widow, today's gospel story, just heard it read, has a disciple commenting about architecture to Jesus the same way you or I might come out of church saying, "Oh, what a beautiful day." Perhaps this disciple was eager to hear how Jesus might teach to an observation about stones and buildings, much like Jesus was teaching to an observation about a poor widow giving in faith, out of her poverty. Don't you love using holy imagination? Keep on doing so. Scripture is dense and rich with meaning, is it not? History helps us here, not in making unfolding events in the Bible neat and tidy, no, but rather helpful with what writers of Scripture may have known that gives context, gives us the whole story. So, how about a quick review of history? Scholars believe the Gospel of Mark is the earliest continuous narrative of Jesus' life known to have survived. That's why I like unpacking the Gospel of Mark. I encourage you all to do so. The writer of Mark composed this Gospel around 66 to 74 CE, only about 40 years after Jesus' death. All right, Got that in your head? Some who heard parts of the composition of Mark for the first time would have been alive when Jesus was on earth, would have witnessed Jesus preaching and teaching and doing a new thing with grace and love rather than judgment and fear. And even more interesting, historically, about the same time, right, the Gospel of Mark was composed, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, and the city lay in throes of destruction. No more buildings, no more stones stacked. Ah, now do we hear what's within that exclamation? Look, teacher, what large stones, what large buildings. Do scholars believe that the writer of Mark knew of this destruction? Scholars debate this. Such knowledge could have added to the meaning behind this exchange between Jesus and the disciple about architecture. Dear siblings in Christ, there's also this. Jesus, when responding to the disciple who stopped him, as they exited the temple, look, teacher, could have been making his own prediction. Ah, the intuitive divinity of Jesus coming from teacher Jesus. Jesus knows things. The story continues. Jesus responds to the disciple, not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down. Jesus knowing things. Jesus is going from one teachable moment to another, from a poor widow's faithfulness, which didn't seem to get much of a rise out of the disciples, to the throwing down of stones and buildings. Now this has their attention. When will this happen? The disciples ask. They pull him aside privately. When will this happen? What will be the sign? Jesus says, beware, no one leads you astray. When you hear these rumors, do not fear. Jamie, your song was spot on this morning. Yes, there will be disruption and destruction to your very lives, wars and nation against nation and earthquakes and famine, the stuff of creation and the stuff of the human condition. But from all that creation is and all that humanity is, these are beginnings of birth pangs. Jesus, knowing things, knows how to respond in this moment. Today's story in the Gospel of Mark can get us readers sidetracked if we're not mindful. Stones toppled, buildings thrown down, war, earthquakes, famine, pandemics. Fear-provoking events always have been and always will be right up to now and into tomorrow. Jesus, knowing things, knows to tell us, do not be afraid, then and now. Why not be afraid, we ask? All this talk of the forces of destruction makes one want to run and hide. How about an honest check-in? Questions for you. Which one do you relate to? Have you ever been caught in a tornado or a blizzard? Have you gone to war and seen its death and destruction? Have you had a home burned down in a fire? Have you had your heart broken? I have. Have you been humiliated and experienced violence because you came from somewhere else and your accent sounded different, nation against nation? Have you been bullied? Have you experienced the abomination of racism? Have you been led astray by false wisdom in the last, say, 12 months? Have you lived with disease? Have you held the hand of someone in treatment for cancer? Have you been in treatment for addiction? Have you failed a class? Have you suffered from COVID-19? My son is still suffering. How about yours? Have you experienced the death of those you hold dear? Have you had your laid out plans of retirement dashed? These are honest questions, my friends, of creation and of the human condition. So why not be afraid? Jesus, knowing things, knows to tell us, do not fear. This story in Mark happens the week of Jesus' death. It's good to be reminded of that. We followers of Jesus wonder, was Jesus not afraid of the forces of what would rise up against him despite his preaching and teaching and healing and coming as Messiah to all in need of forgiveness and love and hope? Despite his call of Emmanuel, God with us, God with him, did he not fear? Do you know anyone who seems to have the gift of intuition? Intuition. That sense of what is happening right in front of them. What may come in the very moment. I know someone like this who has this gift. Her name is Susan. Susan can walk into a room or into a group of people or into situations and have a sense of what is to happen. Astonishing, that unique and sometimes difficult gift to pass, one of intuition. My friend would say, you do not always want this gift. One of great awareness. Perhaps more of us would have this helpful gift if we were open to the work of the Spirit, blowing and nudging us, advocating for us, placing in our lives fearless warriors of the faith. Jesus had the gift of intuition. Jesus knew what the disciple was getting at while looking at the large stones and the large buildings, uncertainty, despair, fear. Jesus, knowing things, knows to tell us, do not fear. I am with you. I will never leave you. Wow. Jesus knew what was coming for him. Death on a cross. Just a few days from our gospel story within the next chapter of Mark, Mark chapter 14. The narrative tells us what Jesus was feeling leading up to his arrest. We sometimes hear it in that story that happens just before Easter. And Jesus is in the garden. Could it be removed from him like a stone being thrown down? Knowing this, Jesus could have said, be very afraid. But Jesus, knowing many things, did not and does not fear. Jesus, caught up in the Spirit-led mission and ministry, doing a new thing, I always say, with love and forgiveness and hope, knows God intends judgment and fear to be gone. Jesus, caught up in God's Spirit-led mission and ministry to death on a cross and then to rising again, is greater than fear. Jesus knew God would be with him, and with God all things were possible. Oh, this text. Go home and read it again, my friends. Read it again. All things like life. Life. Jesus is the sign. Jesus is the accomplishment. God loved the world so much that God sent a Savior to begin the birth pangs of death to life. For all of us, for everyone. The building up of God's kingdom of peace, of nations coming together under that canopy of God's love, rising up to help one another when creation groans, when the human condition requires compassion and friendship and understanding. not to be led astray by what divides us, but to be steadfast in uniting hope and promise that is possible with God. Wholeness and peace through Jesus and because of Jesus is what we fearlessly are to know and how we fearlessly are to live. Thanks be to God. Amen.